This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Who's been a naughty girl, apparently, according to the UK Mail?
Naughty? The funniest thing about it was the irony of a tabloid thinking that I wouldn't be, that I'd actually be embarrassed that someone had accidentally seen my nipple. I was like, oh, these people just did not Google.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's liberating for women. I love your response, and I love the YouTube clip of you, you know, wearing a kimono and pretty much sticking it up them.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Australians love you, and I've just been reflecting and listening to your Down Under Amanda Palmer album. And I've just listened to Vegemite 3 times. Tell me about your experience in Australia. Are you going to come back after we've tortured you with Vegemite or not?
You know, especially after I wrote the Vegemite song, I really, really tried to like it. I took everybody's advice. I spread it thinly on toast with tons of butter. I tried it on avocados. It just didn't really work.
Oh, my God, you even tried it with avocados and it still didn't work.
Yeah, I think you have to grow up with it. This is the conclusion that I've come to.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, now, what is coming up with you? You know, you're a cabaret, punk cabaret performer. You've done solo. You're part of Dresden Dolls. Now you're part of a band, an orchestra band. Is there a preference? Because seeing you as a solo performer, you're amazing the way you intimately connect with your audience. Is it a different feel for you?
You know, I get bored doing the same thing repeatedly, so it's actually really good for me to switch it up and go out on the road with the Dresden Dolls, go out on the road solo, go out on the road with the band,
yep.
Work on some theater, then write a book. And, you know, if I do any one thing for more than a few months, I sort of start to go crazy.
Yeah.
So touring with this band has been epic. I mean, they're amazing players.
Yep.
And it's really, really nice to get out from behind the piano and be able to go and to mosh pit and dance around and scream and run around and, you know, sweat on stage and not have to be stuck to the piano.
Yeah.
And that's something that I wasn't able to do with the Dresden Dolls, and I'm certainly not able to do solo.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to do it 365 days a year. It's really nice to do it for a tour or two and then switch gears.
The other thing that has drawn my attention to you, Amanda, which I am obsessed with TED Talks, obsessed with them. I mean, if anyone's ever feeling down, I recommend get yourself under the covers and just get onto TED.com and be inspired. Your recent talk, well, it's not recent, but it's had 2.5 million hits and it's going strong. And it's about the art of asking. How long did it take to prepare for that talk? Or did it take...
It actually, it was incredibly hard work.
Yeah.
Harder than you might think. I agonized over that talk, and I started working on it about 2 months before I gave it. You know, wrote a version unedited and timed it. It was about 25 minutes. And
wow.
When I first sat down to pen it, and I had to edit it down to 12 minutes. Basically I spent 2 or 3 solid weeks every night working for a couple of hours, especially on the phone with a friend of mine, just like cutting lines and adding things in, taking them out and shifting them around, pacing around my basement, you know, delivering the talk to the 4 walls and trying to get the pacing correct. It was kind of like a theater exercise, because you're basically just on a stage giving a 12-minute memorized monologue. And if it's going to be emotional and it's going to work, you can't fuck it up. You had to actually hit all the right notes and know it so well that you didn't have to think about what you were saying. You could just deliver the meat of it and get out of your own way. So even up until the day before I gave the talk, I was going for long walks and running the talk in my head. And, you know, TED takes place in California along the beach, and I was sort of walking up and down the beach and walking up and down the pier and, you know, just mumbling to myself like a crazy person, doing my talk to myself with all these people passing me thinking that I was homeless. And it was great. It was really intense training experience, like a martial art.
But do you know what I think is great, you saying that? I'm relieved, because if you had said to me, oh, that was, yeah, it was, you know, it didn't take very long, I would have thought, what? It was a beautiful experience at the same time, as even though it was really intense, because you delivered such a beautiful message.
Yeah, it was an important message to me, too, because I felt so deeply misunderstood last year with the Kickstarter campaign and people yelling at me for using Kickstarter and people yelling at me for crowdsourcing and yelling at me for using volunteers. And I had spent so long in my, you know, happy-go-lucky punk rock circus community,
yeah,
never confronting any anger about any of these issues. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really important to stand up and say, listen, there's a lot of ways of doing things. It isn't a straight line, and it isn't as simple as you think. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of artists out here who are working with, loving, and exchanging with each other in a way that you don't understand, and you've got to back off.
Yeah.
Maybe very happy to be given such an important stage to say that.
Yeah. And it would have been really hurtful to begin with, I suppose, but I mean, the fact that you were honest about it and you spoke about it, which was brilliant. 1.2 million.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, I mean, my fans are amazing. You know, I set it up that they did it. They came through. And, you know, I ran my Kickstarter in such a way where I pretty much broke even. And I spent a lot of money on the packaging and a lot of money on, you know, making sure that it was a total kind of over-the-top success, but also because I kind of just wanted to make an ideal and prove a point.
Yeah.
And show other artists that if you do just communicate with and connect to and trust your fans, whether you've got 50 or 500 or 500,000, it doesn't matter. Don't have to go through the system. You don't have to hide behind a label. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to make the mainstream choice. It really is possible to just go directly to the people who like you and like your art and ask them to help you.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's why that talk was so powerful, Amanda. You initially, you asked for 100K and you got 1.2 million. And I think that's, you know, that's through trust and your fans really, really respect you.
Not every artist has that or wants to have that, and that's something we have to, as an audience, we have to take into account too. This isn't a one-size-fits-all solution for every artist out there.
Yeah.
But it does work for a lot of people, and I've been really happy to see Australia embrace crowdfunding and, you know, sites like Pozible, and I've seen a bunch of Australian musician friends of mine have great success using crowdfunding, and it actually does seem like it's a cultural thing too, because Australians get it.
Yes.
The same way Americans get it, which is like, okay, well, if no one else is going to help me out and I can't work within the system, you know, fuck it, I'll just go over here and do it myself.
Yeah.
Whereas there have been European countries who are really slow to embrace it because they're very suspicious of artists asking them directly for help because they, you know, because they're used to a system that accommodates artists, and you know, they don't understand why these artists aren't getting help from the government, or why these artists aren't getting help from, you know, some gigantic bureaucratic arm of the system. And I think Americans and Australians got to have that thing in common. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, no, the system's not fucking working, we're just gonna go over here and do it. Mm-hmm. that's one thing that, you know, these two societies have sort of always had in common.
Yeah, exactly. I just had a thought when you said Europe, because my background's Greek. I wonder how Greek would accept it, and I don't think they'd be able
to
handle.
Well, nowadays with the economy, who fucking knows?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, now, Amanda Palmer, we love you. Like, Australia is looking so forward to you coming. What are you looking forward to the most when you come down?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the whole thing. I have so many amazing artist friends there and such a great history. But Sydney has always been one of my kindest and most enthusiastic audiences in Australia. So it's a tie between Melbourne and Sydney. But also, I love going out to Perth because, you know, the audience there goes so completely nuts.
Yeah.
Not every artist tours out there every time, and I always make a point to go. And I have a beautiful relationship with the, you know, with the audience out there. So there's not really a loser in the bunch.
Yeah.
You know, every city's always fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we're looking so forward to you coming down, and it's going to be in September. It's a bit delayed. It's been postponed. So you are definitely coming in September, and we can't wait to have you.
I can't wait to come. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. One more question. Where have you gotten your strength from? Like, because you're so fearless. I mean, I'm sure, look, we all have fear, and I'm sure there must be some fear in you, of course. But where does it come from?
I don't know. I mean, that's such an impossible question to answer. It comes from everybody.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And if I'm going to answer your question honestly, and it wouldn't be me if I didn't.
Yep.
I've had a really rough 6 or 7 months. I mean, ever since the record came out and all sorts of rocky things started happening to me, and my best friend, you know, got cancer. I canceled my tour.
Yeah.
People started yelling at me for all sorts of things. Like, I basically didn't have a month of my life without getting torn to shreds in the press, especially in America, for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And I got really depressed a couple of months ago and couldn't find the strength and couldn't find my optimism and couldn't get my shit together. Just was like actually depressed for the first time in years.
Yeah.
And coming back out on the road, I mean, I played a show. I just got off stage about 2 hours ago. I played in Edinburgh. And actually being on a stage in front of a couple thousand people and playing music and singing directly to a bunch of people who are looking at me and I'm looking at them, and then, you know, getting outside after the shows and hugging people and talking to them about their stories and actually, like, being with human beings as opposed to just communicating over the internet is so important to me.
Yeah.
And it's why touring is so important, and it's why as fantastic as the internet is and as fantastic as Twitter is, and even as fantastic as it is when a thing like the Daily Mail song that I just did goes viral, it's not a substitute for, like, touching people.
Yeah, human contact. Yes.
And that's where I get a lot of my strength, is actually, like, holding people and looking at them and going, okay, I know I am doing this because you're right here. And they go, yeah, I'm right here. And that's something you can never get through an app or, you know, or a website.
Yep.
It's real. It's human beings doing things with human beings.
Yep.
That's where I get a lot of my strength.
Yeah.
When I tour.
Amanda fucking Palmer, you fucking rock.
Oh, thank you. I'm so looking forward to coming back to Australia. And the band is really incredible. I'm blessed to be on the road with this really fantastic, talented, crazy love musicians.
So, yeah.
And they're really, really, really looking forward to coming back to Oz too. We recorded the record in Melbourne, so this is sort of like a homecoming.
Oh, fantastic. Finally. Hey, Amanda, thank you so much for your time. We're going to have you in Melbourne the 20th of September.
Thank you. It's great to talk.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.